Hello, and finally, welcome to This Week and Testing. Thank you for giving us an extra few moments to find Simon. He was momentarily lost in the Mottoverse, but we did send out a search party of space ducks to tow him back in, so we're all good. I will briefly run down the intro for This Week in Testing, and then me and Simon will have a brief chat. And then we can start getting people up on stage. So, just a reminder that this is a Ministry of Testing event. And as always, our code of conduct is in force. You can view the code of conduct on the Ministry of Testing website. And if you see or hear anything that is inappropriate and that you do not like, please kindly ask it to stop. And if that doesn't stop, then please let me and Simon know, or someone from Ministry of Testing, and we will enforce the code of conduct. Thank you very much. This Week in Testing is recorded and released as a weekly podcast. So you can catch up with previous episodes on the Ministry of Testing website, along with many other fantastic events, recordings, happenings, and different things that are going on. So do take a chance to regularly visit the ministryoftesting.com homepage because it is updated on a very regular basis with all the new wonderful things going on in the Mottoverse. Simon, welcome to This Week in Testing.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Ben. And yeah, thanks for sending out the search party. I've just fed the ducks. They are now pleased that they got some sustenance after being able to find me. So yeah, apologies, folks, for that. As always, we do have a little bit of fun with crowdcast technology when it comes to getting started. So yeah, Ben, it's good to co-host with you today. And yeah, talking about the homepage updating rapidly. We have now enabled photo memories are now available on the homepage. You'll see a few photo memories on the homepage right now if you are listening live. One is of Rosie and Alexandra. They are at Selenium Conference at the moment, so they posted a photo memory from yesterday, which is cool. There is another one from yesterday's The Testing Planet, which features yourself, Ben. This is where you are hosting the ultimate supernova showdown with AJ, Claire, and Shweta, which I thought was amazing. I loved how you got so into it and were kind of commentating like a sports commentator. It was very cool. So if folks missed it yesterday, that will be live on the site in the coming weeks. The other cool thing on the homepage right now, featured in big, is Software Testing Live Episode 2, Access All Areas. So this was a cool session that Ben hosted with Jane DeCruz. And it was just live testing. You would get to watch two people testing for reals, understanding their thought process. Not just what it is they're exploring and what they're discovering, but why they're doing what they're doing. So that recording is now available. It is very cool and well worth revisiting and taking lots of notes as you do so. So yeah, Ben, this week, what have you, how's your This Week in Testing been?
Oh, thanks for asking, Simon. So, there's a lot going on, and I really enjoyed the Testing Planet this week, and it for a lot of reasons. So, the topic for those of you who didn't get to tune in to the Testing Planet yesterday was quality coaching, and it was really fascinating because there was a combination of different threads of conversations going on. And there were some things in the This Week in Testing news where there was discussions about whether quality testing jobs existed and whether people were really called quality coaches. And then we had some fantastic sessions with people who were in the role called quality coach, working for companies like the Co-op that had jobs open for quality coaches. So we can confirm it is real. It does exist.
It's brilliant, right? That
Right.
confirmation.
And I think it opened a really great meta point, which was that there's a difference between the named, sometimes a difference between the name of the role that we do and the actual day-to-day activities and way we would describe who we are in our careers and as professionals. And I think that's a really interesting thing that was explored in various ways yesterday as part of the quality coaching. And I think that many of the great activities for that Claire and AJ and Shweta spoke about what they do when they really do quality coaching, I think there were a lot of people who were tuned in who would have been able to relate to at least some of those activities in their job, whatever their role title was. I think some of them were very transferable and relatable skills that people do. And I think the ones that maybe aren't doing these things might be interested in doing them, whatever their job title is. There might be things that people aspire to do. So I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, totally. And there's loads of kind of, I guess we describe it as kind of good quotes or things that sort of popped out that at Ministry of Testing we take a note of and try our very best to play back to the community in various different ways. I liked Anne-Marie Charette's line, quality is an emergent property. A coach helps people figure out their own ideas to solve problems. It's a special skill. That comment from Lisa Crispin in the chat yesterday, the long game is such good advice. I see so many teams that try something new, don't give it enough time, move on to something completely different approach over and over. That was a really good point. Many more. Yeah, and again from Anne-Marie, quality is predominantly a leadership position. They have to make the quality strategy explicit. I thought her emphasis on that, when thinking about quality beyond an engineering team, it's heavily reliant on the framework or the tone or the paradigm that leadership sets. And that was really cool. It really stood out. It's very cool. And also Katya's joke. So Kat Obring just dropped this joke in there. How many testers does it take to change a light bulb? None. They just report it's dark. So there you go. I had to write that one down. It's a classic.
Brilliant. And I think it was a real treat of an episode, right? Because we had so many, like, it was, how do I put this? Like the great wrestler Sheamus would say, it was banger after banger after banger.
Love it. I'm so glad you got the wrestling reference in there, Ben, because I feel like you were channeling that as you were hosting and facilitating the Supernova Showdown, the kind of wrestling commentator. It was very, very cool.
I've been watching a lot more wrestling recently, and do you know what? I've also been watching BattleBots.
Oh, right. Okay.
Really, yeah. In that sports commentator mood for the debate.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's a good oracle to a good couple of oracles to lean onto.
Nice. So shall we see if there's a couple more things we want to get out there into the world and then start inviting people up? So one thing, you mentioned the episode of Software Testing Live with Jane DeCruz going live on the website. Just a shout out that the next episode of Software Testing Live is coming on the 23rd of April with the fantastic Brittany Stewart. And we will be talking all things e-commerce and not only talking, but testing live. We're still finalizing the target of our testing, but it's going to be some kind of shop or some kind of retail related site or app. And we will get a snappy name and a description on the episode as soon as we get that finalized. So it should be very cool.
Very excited for that one. Indeed. It's going to be cool. So yeah, I've dropped a link in the chat for those who are listening in live and following in on the chat. Just go sign up. You know, we might not have those deets, but just get signing up. And there's plenty more events as well to check out, kind of pique your curiosity, see what is out there, and yeah, and see what's possible. One thing I wanted to call out, Ben, another as part of my week in testing, I've gone through the process of, so at Ministry of Testing, for those listeners, we have a Community Star badge offering. So Community Star is goes to folks in the community who are just doing brilliant things, who are really going for it, who are contributing their time and efforts to be to participate in the community. So there's many, many ways that people can earn a star. And there is a fairly recent blog post that Rosie put out called The Community Algorithm, which details like how anyone can earn a community star and how it leads to a community certificate. Essentially, if you get 5 community stars, which would happen, you know, they don't have to happen in order over 5 months. It could be across a year. So 5 times in a year, you will end up with a community certificate. So I wanted to give some stats. I wanted to share some numbers from behind the scenes. So I put out an internal message to the team this morning. I thought, well, you know what? Let's just share it at This Week in Testing. So 140 community star badges were earned in February. That is up from 131 in January. Total number of community star badges is 850. It's just incredible. There have been 24 above and beyond badges dished out for February, and that's up from 20 in January. So if someone does more than three or more things to get their community star badge, they are going above and beyond. So we dish out an above and beyond badge. There are 67 of those out there right now. And this is where it gets really cool. We administered the most community certificates in a month, dishing out 13 more community certificates. So that's the highest number we've given. Previous was 12. There are now 50 people with MOT community certificates. So congrats this time round to Ash Winter, Conrad Brown, Greg Munt, Isrin John Chima, Javier Aguirre Fieres, Jesse Barkley. Hey, Jesse, who's in the chat? Jitesh Gosai, Judy Mosley, Mariam Safi. Mariam, yes, is in the chat as well. Congratulations. Mike Harris, Natalia Burmai, Alexander Romanov, and Philippa Jennings. So, Bug, congrats to you folks. I thought I'd just give some numbers because they matter. They really matter. And it emphasizes the commitment that folks have to expanding the Motiverse, contributing in a way that just helps everyone grow. And Judy, I can see you in the chat as well. Bug, congrats to you for your community certificate as well. Sorry, I missed you earlier. We should celebrate. And also, if you are new to the community, do have a look at that blog post to get some ideas about how you can get yourself a community star badge and eventually a certificate. It's a cool way to celebrate your success. So please do check it out. But yes, Ben, we should, looking at the time, we should probably get some folks up on stage. What do you reckon?
We absolutely should. So a quick reminder to everyone in the chat who are live right now, if you put up your hand, we can invite you onto the stage. Please keep your webcams off and your audio on. You may need to give your browser permissions. If you are lucky enough to have a laptop or desktop, it is way easier. Joining on mobile seems to be a challenge. I've not seen people successfully do that as of yet. Let's have a look if we've got anyone with their hands up yet.
Let us see. Ushuao, I did see Ushuao had their hand up. Let's try again and get them up on stage. Here we go.
Welcome, Ushuao. How's your week in testing been?
Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you are audible.
Okay. Hi, Ben. Hi, everyone. So this week has been fantastic for me. So the most important thing happened that my contribution to Selenium was featured in Selenium Conf. So that's really a reason for motivation for me this weekend. Apart from that, in testing, I'm trying few new things like Playwright MCP. Apart from that, I'm also exploring Kafka. And then yesterday I attended the Testing Planet episode on quality coaching. So that was also really wonderful, especially the voting system. And the best part was the music. So that's how my week has been so far.
Wow, that's a very busy week that you've had there. And thank you so much for joining in yesterday with the Testing Planet and watching that. Is there any of the sessions from yesterday that you particularly wanted to call out that you enjoyed?
The first question that Sarah had asked, that how do you implement the quality coaching in your company? So that was like a good question. So that was like a really good part of the episode for me.
Ushuel, if not on your radar, and this is for everyone else who is listening as well, there's loads of good questions been put out on the club that have been tagged with quality coaching. A whole load went out yesterday. So do jump on there. Amory Charette is already replying to them, and other folks are diving in as well. So there's, yeah, loads of good questions related to quality and quality coaching, I should say. And I'll make sure I include links to them, to most of them, in next week's MOT Weekly, which is our newsletter that we put out each week. But do, for anyone who's listening, do go check it out, jump on in, find out what folks are sharing on the club about quality coaching. It's really cool.
Sure, Simon. I will definitely explore them. Thanks.
And Ushuel, you reminded me when you mentioned about the music at the Testing Planet. That reminds me of the fun sound effects that Deanna Dromi, our events producer, was using off the cuff. I think it made you chuckle quite a fair bit there, Ben, as well, which is also entertaining.
I was struggling to keep composure, I'm not going to lie. That was
so funny.
Really funny. It was just the one of the party blower.
Yeah.
So deadpan. It was like it didn't have quite the desired effect. It wasn't like the celebration so much as like, and I'm like, it just I don't know what it was, but it just made me giggle so hard.
It was funny. So behind the scenes, Deanna was like, she goes, "I don't know what these sounds are going to sound like. I'm just going off the name." So it really was testing in production, like triggering the audio and then finding out what it would sound like live. In front of hundreds of people, which is always entertaining.
I hope the audience were entertained, Simon. I was definitely entertained.
Yeah. Ushuel, just one more question from me, and thank you for joining the stage. It's great to see you again. You mentioned about Selenium Conf. So did you dial into it remotely, or did I misunderstand what you shared earlier?
Actually, I contributed to Selenium on GitHub repo. So that was being mentioned in Selenium Conf.
Oh, wow. Cool. Very cool. I get it. Oh, that's okay, brilliant.
So I've shared that on LinkedIn also. So like that, and that was really motivation part for me this weekend. So
I get it.
And obviously I'm going to contribute more in future to open source community. So it was good for me.
Very cool indeed. Well, thank you for sharing, Ushuel. Please do stick around on the stage and join in the conversation whenever you wish to. So, folks, what else have you been up to? I see some good chat happening right now for those who are joining us live. So, yeah, apologies if folks are struggling a little bit with the mobile app with Crowdcast. We do understand that it can be a little bit flaky. We are in talks behind the scenes with the folks at Crowdcast, sharing the issues that we are discovering as a community. So they're getting a lot of good live testing recently from MOT and the folks who are joining these events. So, yeah, they are grateful for that. But enough chat about Crowdcast. How about we get more folks up on stage to continue the chat?
Absolutely. Let's see if anyone can figure out how to put their hand up. So yes, as has been discussed in the chat, the hand up feature is only available on web. So you won't be able to do that if you are using the app. You'll have to switch to joining from the web, which I think will work from at least a mobile Chrome browser on your phone, but won't work from the Crowdcast app. Or if you are lucky enough to have a laptop or desktop available to you, it definitely will work from there. Going to read out a few things from the chat while we're here. So Emily O'Connor was saying, it's like the clapping reaction on Teams. It's too slow, so it looks sarcastic and not genuine. Exactly that, Emily. That was exactly the problem. It felt a bit sarcastic, and it just really was too funny.
An unfortunate slow clap.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was.
I guess one workaround for folks, if you do want to come up on stage, but you can't put your virtual hand up, just pop a message like, get me up on stage, or bring me on stage, please, or can I join the stage? And we can manually click on or select your profile and then invite you up onto the stage. So if you aren't able to put your hand up, we should.
AJ, did you want to come on stage? Let's see if we can get you on.
I think, Simon, you should add music effect on these episodes also, or make it more entertaining.
Oh, say that again, Ushuao. I didn't quite get that.
I said you should add the music effect in these episodes also, like you had added yesterday. Music effect.
I'm sorry, Ushuao. I didn't quite get that one. But I see that, yeah, sorry, Ujwal, to cut you off slightly there if I did. I see that AJ is up on stage. So AJ, yeah, how's your week in testing been?
Hi, everyone. It's been really good, thank you. This week, I've been doing quite a lot with scalability and disaster recovery testing again. I'm also looking into the hiring process where I am. And we're looking for quality engineers to join a more strategic world within our company. So it's been really interesting. Very busy. It's all good. All good. Oh, and then the piece de resistance, the cherry on the cake. Yesterday I got to have a session with Ben, Claire and Shweta on quality coaching. It was really good for Ministry of Testing.
You were phenomenal yesterday, AJ. You were so brave getting up there, being the one from your company to answer all four questions against a team of two. We did it with grace and a lot of preparation. It was very impressive. So yeah, well done for that.
Oh, thank you very much. That's really nice. I was just conscious that actually on the day that I had had some points ready that would be different to Claire and Shweta's, because otherwise it's just us all agreeing. So I just wanted to make sure that it was something I believed in and that it was actually something we were doing. It was really good. It's a good conversation.
And a comment coming in with Michael Close in the chat. Thank you for sharing, Michael. AJ, you were fantastic yesterday. You really held your own. Thank you for sharing, Michael. That's cool. I liked also, AJ, I made a note of it. There was a question around how does coaching influence testing? And you said something along the lines of, let's turn this thing on its head. Testing, how can testing influence coaching? I thought that was really cool. So yeah, it's kind of good the way you flipped it on its head. It was very cool indeed.
Yeah, I'm just...
Your audio just cut for a moment there, AJ, unless it's me.
It's because of Crowdcast, my screen locked.
Oh, there you go.
We're testing it live, people. We're testing it live.
Indeed.
You're back.
Good. I'm just conscious that... I think quality is really important, but the grassroots of what everything we do regarding software is testing. And that feeds in, is bi-directional. I think people are replacing the word testing with quality, and it's not as part of, it's all part of everything together. It's the yin yang, it's balance, and testing is still fundamental to everything we do.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like that's connected to what Ben was sharing earlier on, where I think folks were realizing like, oh yeah, I do a bit of quality coaching, even though I didn't know it was called that. And actually exactly. I might be able to do more of it in my role as a testing professional or QA professional or quality engineering professional, regardless of having an official quality coaching title, which I thought was really cool. Kind of, I imagine it would certainly give folks hope that it's like, oh yeah, I am good at my job and I am doing some of that stuff. This is great.
I completely agree. It was a really great point yesterday where people get bogged down in the title, and they don't realize that they were all doing either something very similar or we're all doing different aspects of the same thing. And so it was really good.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes people don't necessarily get that the difference between being, say, a quality coach in one team to the next team or one company to the next company can be as different as the difference between a quality engineer and being a quality coach or being a tester or a test engineer. So while the titles can change, actually, that context of which team you're in and which company you're in can make more of a difference than the title, which is really interesting to me. And I think that really came out yesterday with the debate where while you and Shweta and Claire were all clearly doing great quality coaching, there was definitely differences that for the same role, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It doesn't it needs to not be the same everywhere. You have to make it catered for what you're doing and the context of what you're doing and what the business goals are and the value that you can deliver in that time. We can't do everything all at once. Doesn't matter what your role is. So it's choosing your battles. Like, what's more important in this moment? How do we iterate? How do we improve? Are we checking in on what we're doing? Is it still the right thing that we're doing? You've made such great points. We have to keep testing ourselves also and make sure that we're on the right path. And does the path need to change? We can still get to the same destination, just maybe a different way of getting there.
I love
Love
that
that
so
quote.
much. That's another quote for you, Simon.
Oh yeah, I was...
Are we on the right path and does the path need to change? That's
Oh
so
man,
good.
I can't type fast enough. So I was thinking of something else at the same time as well. It makes me think, I can't remember who shared it. It might have been yourself, AJ. And I didn't note it, or maybe I noted it, but I can't find my notes. It was the concept that, and Ben, you called it out because I think you appreciated it. It was around quality coaching is focusing on, or is more people focused, whereas quality engineering is more technology focused. I can't remember who shared that, but I thought that was a
That was
nice
me.
framing. Was it yourself, AJ?
Yeah, I've got it in my
Ah.
notes. I can put it in Slack or on
As
the
evidence to say, I said that, I
club.
said that. I
No,
believe you, AJ. I believe you.
it's part of the model that I'm making to
Yeah.
coach, because we've got testers who want to become more of a quality coaching role. So I'm creating like a university for them to do that.
Brilliant. That's so cool.
That's
I'm just going to read out a few things from the chat. So Michael Close again was saying, is testing the industry the only industry where we can have the same job title as someone else, but actually do really different work day to day? That's a really interesting question. I'll come
Oh.
back to that. Emily also adds, AD did an article or a club post on this. How many different job titles there can be, and that's very cool. And Miriam is saying, titles confuse me. You are not alone, Miriam. Titles confuse me sometimes as well. I think I know what they are, and then I find out I'm wrong. Did you want to
Michael's
speak,
question's a
AJ?
really fun one.
Sorry, go ahead.
Michael's question's a really fun one
Yes.
because a lot of things that happen in software comes from either manufacturing or medical backgrounds. And then so things like quality assurance that originally before software existed was in retail and medical. So a lot of those job titles, if you look for medical, sorry, informational papers, or you're doing research on white papers, that type of thing, or university papers, you get the results that you think is to do with software, but you get things that are medical and or engineering, like manufacturing engineering. It's quite interesting. And I think that's where sometimes new job titles come from. When a new title appears in those areas, someone goes, ah, we could use that. Here's something else we can charge for. Yeah, it's really interesting.
You're absolutely correct. I think validation engineer is a good one for that. That definitely came from manufacturing, 100%. Welcome, Michael. Welcome to the stage. Thank you very much
Hello.
for joining us.
Yeah, I asked the question because I'm being 2P'd from one role to another currently, and part of that was that process was going through, I would start looking for jobs, and job titles and job descriptions were so varied. So I was just trying to work out, is it just testing? So I can't see any other industry where it's quite as...
It's a really great point. And Michael, for the benefit of those watching who might not be in the UK or might not have been through an acquisition, 2P, if I'm right, is the process where your employer is now being taken over by another employer and your job is basically being transferred between entities. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. Yeah, so you do the same job, but just for a different company, and you don't apply for the role, you just get moved straight in, doing exactly the same.
But as you've just raised, maybe with a different title.
Oh yes, different title quite possibly, and it is in my case. And the job description is varied. I'll go with varied.
Nice. That's great. So I have opinions on this one, but I'd love to hear from you, AJ, if you can think of other industries that are likely to have very different jobs with the same title. I'm sure there will be some if we think about it.
And definitely the NHS. They've got very similar job titles to we have. In the aerospace, very similar. Chemical engineering. This could be a really fun blog post and poll, actually. I think as well, one thing that doesn't help is the way that job titles are categorized by LinkedIn, for example. There's three different areas just for technology and testing. So you've got one cluster of engineering, and then another in LinkedIn that's software engineering, and then another that's testing. And how you raise that job role profile and how you market it from different companies around the world can impact the algorithm and what you see in terms of what's given to you based on your skills. So there's a bit of a hot mess out there. I always check things like TMMI and different technology models from Fujitsu and other companies, and things like Supplier Network. That's a grading system for software technologists, to just see what the titles are trending and what's more usable when I'm looking for jobs and when I'm creating job adverts, that type of thing.
Some great resources I think you've just thrown out there, AJ. I'm sure you will share those with us in the chat or in somehow to get into Simon's newsletter. Those sound like things I don't know about, but I need to.
Supplier Network is really interesting to see. To try and work out where you stand as well as a level in against your peers.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Very early in my career, I think in the 2000s, it was really useful to understand how I can build a competency matrix or competency framework for testers I was working with, and just look at different attributes of autonomy, influence, like complexity, business knowledge, and behavioral factors, that type of thing. And it's really good for checking when new companies come out with certifications to see if they're covering enough for when you hire people that have that certification. It's quite good. Have you found that it's been useful in other ways, Michael?
Yeah, because I was obviously looking for work and I was trying to not know what would happen when I'm changing employer. So I was trying to benchmark myself and then use that to work against what job roles were being advertised and things like that. So I've done it maybe the opposite way to yourself, rather as doing it as an individual rather than working from the job role down.
I'm just conscious of my accent, so I just want to clarify what SFIA means. So the SFIA is a foundation. It's a non-profit that's global, and they oversee things for the skills framework for the information age. That's what SFIA means. So I know we have people listening all over the world. It's quite good to have a look up, and just they're used by quite a lot of big companies, like the NHS, universities, digital skills agencies, that type of thing. It's always worth having a little look. On the British Computer Society, use it as well.
Yes, I think this topic came up once before on This Week in Testing, and people were wondering what does it mean to be an L5 and an L7, and is there some kind of framework where these things are described somewhat externally that people are using? And it's, I think frameworks like SFIA are where these kind of terms come from. I'm not sure if L5 and L7 are what come from here with the different levels or if they were from somewhere else, but these kind of frameworks are exactly the kind of thing that I think if you're a hiring manager, or not even a hiring manager, but someone in the recruiting space or maybe in the education space, you might have a good idea what these things are. But as an individual contributor, I have no idea what my company uses to come up with the names and benchmark and the actual levels and how those work. That's not just where I am now, but in general, it's very rarely been transparent to me, which is a really interesting thing.
I would just maybe say, I mean, probably use the same thing with the caveat that it's a body of knowledge. It's not the way that you should do it. It's not a should or would, it's a could. It's more guidance and information. It's the same with a lot of these bodies around the world. They're not actually a legal requirement. It's just an information base for different people to compare. And there's not one that's better than the other. It's just personal preference.
That is very fair. So if anyone else does want to come up on stage and you're struggling to raise your hand, do let us know, just by the way, and we will happily invite you on. A little bit of a time check, Simon. We have a little over 15 minutes left, so we do have time if anyone else wants to come on stage. Michael, if there's anything else you wanted to cover about your week in testing or you had any other questions, feel free.
My week in testing, it's been an interesting week because I officially start with the new company on the Tuesday, so everything's been ramping up on that. So actually it's been taking me away from testing whilst I do more HR-y type tasks. And it makes me realise how much I want to get back to testing, because nothing like being hands-on.
Ah, congrats, Michael. That is very, very cool. And I know, yeah, that eagerness to jump back in. Makes me think there's a fair bit if it is of help to yourself and anyone else who's listening, there's a collection on onboarding that I think we have that I should check up before I share that. Otherwise, I know there's a few club posts about, you know, how do you onboard to a new company? What sort of questions do you ask? What do you do in your first week? All of that stuff. I think, yeah, lots of handy stuff from the community about onboarding, if that is of help, not just yourself, Michael, but anyone else who's listening as well. But yeah, great to have you join the stage. Very cool indeed.
I believe there is some stuff because I think I've been through it as well.
Ah, cool. Amazing. I'm so glad to hear that. That's very cool. But I'm going to make a note to look up the collection at least that we might have and some club posts and get them into MOT Weekly. So I've just made a note of that. So, Ben, I see Judy has got their hand up. So let's bring Judy up on stage.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
Judy, welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Okay. How's your week in testing?
It has been... I'm pausing because I'm thinking about a conversation that I had with Ben last week about where things were, and I wanted to provide a little update, but I'm also thinking about the conversation of quality coaching. And I, up to this point, haven't really considered myself a quality coach at all. It's more, you know, right now my title is QA engineer. So I'm very much doing the things that I am used to, but I'm also realizing that I have information that would, and I mean, I know this, but I have information that would help the team. And when I share it, it benefits. And one thing that came up, which for more context, Ben and I, we were going to talk about estimates, and then it just turned into what's actually happening in my role, which I'm in a unique place, and we've been working on a feature that hasn't gone as well as anyone liked. And there's a lot of different factors for that. But one thing that came out of the whole conversation with my boss is that, like, I think that there are ways to test that the developers just don't know. And one thing that we have on our PR templates whenever you're creating a PR is the developers are supposed to write testing steps. And it says specifically test the happy path, but it doesn't say test all the things that could go wrong. So this week I got the opportunity to edit that PR template to include, and this is for the developers, so it's not for me, but I added a very short and succinct test plan where it was like, you know, when the developer is creating the PR, they should list scenarios versus a happy path. So, you know, what are the negative tests for this PR? What are the positive tests for this PR? What, you know, what's not possible? Because that's one thing I've been running into is like when I'm testing something, I don't know necessarily what the boundary is as far as like what's possible when testing. Like sometimes the functionality is not there yet, and that's fine, but it hasn't been communicated. So actually in that PR template, having a space where the developers can write down those testing scenarios for other developers to test, and then my hope is that our testing will get better because we're thinking about it differently. But I'm also going on vacation next week. So I'm literally kind of releasing on a Friday and then being like, bye, see you later. But yeah, it's been an interesting couple weeks for sure.
Judy, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Just because I'm conscious I won't have all the context, so I'll just ask one. When you mentioned having the happy path and unhappy path in the same pull request.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really big pull request and a lot of code. Does your team work in like a waterfall way? Or is it like, how is it working? Is it, because it does sound like quite big pull requests.
Yeah, we are agile, we're not waterfall. I will say I talked to the product, and to answer your question directly, the pull requests are not huge. They're not big. But at the same time, you know, now that I'm talking that through, I'm not required on the pull request. I test more as with specific projects. I test chunks of work versus individual pull requests. And so I don't know. I don't know.
So it sounds like you're not doing chunk-based development. It's more... Are you working from a Jira board or anything similar, or is it only in Git or in the pull request that you're working?
Well, we use Jira, and then the tickets typically are written by the developers, so they break them down, they break the work down, and we go through them weekly. We have a refinement session.
Okay. All right. So, are the people that are testing it not part of that sprint session, or?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. We actually have a front end. We have a front end and back end split. But there are both front end and back end engineers on each team. And I realized, like I said earlier, my situation is very unique and that's what Ben and I ran into when we were talking last week, is we started talking about this thing and then he asked more questions and it's run very differently. And a lot of, oh, pardon me just a second. There's been a lot of changes as well. And so the engineering team as a whole is still figuring themselves out. So
as a tester, how does that make you feel?
I'm fine with it because we have good leadership. We have a good culture. And if things are going wrong, we talk about it.
Good. Okay.
If things like the project, the feature was supposed to be done pretty much this week, and I found so many issues, they went ahead and moved it, and I talked to my boss and said it would be good because we've had new developers come in recently, and I said it would be good to remind them that deadlines here, like where we work, they're not hard and fast. Like it is but the team is so much more flexible than anywhere that I've worked. And so if it's not ready and it's not good, then we're just going to communicate that and move that out. So it's much more laid back. And it is a really good environment. And there's not the same level. There's not blame, which exists in other organizations.
Thank you so much for sharing, Judy. This is a very cool update. I have so many ideas spinning through my brain, but I also really want to thank AJ for jumping straight into quality coach mode. And I was just picking up on some of the language you were using, AJ, like top tier quality coaching questioning right there. So if you want to know what quality coaching is, folks, listen to the questions that AJ was just asking Judy there. And that is a top tier example of, things like, well, how does that make you feel? What does the team do with this? That sounds to me like, you know, these pull requests are pretty big. So yeah, I just wanted to call that out. That was very, very cool. I also would quite like to add just quickly, there's a very cool person called Gojek Adzik, who has written a bunch of books. One of them I really like, about impact mapping, but one of the books is also 50 quick ideas to improve tests. And this is one that I have had in my back pocket for a while and only realized more recently it's by the same person who did the impact mapping. And it's a small book that each idea is only kind of a small page each. And while it is not the answer to everything, this kind of resource, of which I'm sure there is loads more out there, can be good inspiration for your developers to try and think beyond the happy path. And the reason I say that is one of the particular parts of this book talks about the kind of the different paths. So as well as the happy path, and I can't remember the names of them off the top of my head, but it's things like the path least traveled or the path that you walk backwards or something, right? Like, so it's giving you like other ways to walk that you can think about rather than just thinking about happy and unhappy, which I quite like that idea of expanding that to a selection of different paths that can help you out.
Excellent. Yeah, I would love to check that out because that sounds like a really good resource.
Very cool. Oh, yeah, go for it, Michael. Jump on in.
Releasing on a Friday. That's is that a regular thing? Is it? I know.
No.
I do choose not to specifically not to choose Friday. So I was just wondering how you got there.
No, I'm joking. What my changes that I'm talking about are only in the PR template. When I say release on a Friday, it's basically like me throwing it to the developers and saying, please have a discussion about this. I'm going on vacation. Thanks, bye. but no, we don't release on Fridays at all, thankfully.
Mind you, if you're going on holiday and you want to think about it, it's probably an ideal time to release. So great idea.
Well, on that topic, Michael and Judy and everyone else who's listening, Emily O'Connor recently published a really cool article on the Ministry of Testing website about when you go away. She was encouraging people to not use a handover document. So there's a very compelling argument in that article that's worth checking out. So yeah, definitely one to have a read. It's a really good article from Emily, who I believe was in the chat earlier on. We might have lost her, but yeah, hopefully she's still there. And calling out AJ's comment, Emily is a legend. Star emoji, lots of great views and ways of looking at things. Yeah, 100%. Very cool indeed. And yeah, and amplifying Ben's words, AJ, thank you for your questions. I feel like we have Software Testing Live. I think that was an unofficial episode of Quality Coaching Live. Maybe... yeah, I guess that happens during this week in testing. So properly encourage folks to do more of that. Well, Ben, I've done a time check and we are coming up to the hour. So it's probably time for us to wrap up for today. Before I share a few things about some events that are coming up, Ben, is there anything else you'd like to share at the stage?
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Simon. Yeah, it's fun that we're talking about timing and handover release on a Friday, and here we are coming to an end. No, there is nothing else for me other than to say from me once again, thank you to yourself, Simon, for co-hosting with me, and Michael and Judy and AJ and Ujuao and everyone who comes up on stage and listens in the audience to this week in testing. You really do make it what it is. It is a community event with a conversation, and without you contributing and joining in the chat and on stage, it just wouldn't be the same with if it was just me and Simon having a conversation on our own. I'm sure that would also be a lot of fun, Simon, but it's way more fun with others. So yeah, thank you all very much for joining in.
100%. Thank you so much. Okay, folks, just before we wrap up for today, I want to remind you about Test Bash. And for those who are watching this episode live, I've just shared an image of all the incredible people that are making Test Bash happen this year. It's going to be an incredible conference. If it's not on your radar, it is an annual conference that happens in Brighton in the UK. There's a great bunch of people. The lineup is just wonderful. So many people contributing in many wonderful ways. And it kind of goes beyond the conference. Yes, of course, it is a two-day event, but there's way more stuff that happens before and after a test bash. So if you can get yourself to Brighton at the start of October, very much encourage you to do so. And also, there is an event we launched recently, the day before, called Leading with Quality. This is a one-day educational experience to help expand quality engineering and testing practices across businesses. That's on the 30th of September from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And that's also in Brighton. So it's in the venue just opposite the Brighton Dome where we host Test Bash. So if you are in a leadership position, we do encourage you to check that out. Or indeed, you could encourage your manager to attend. It's shaping up to be a good one. There's lots of good chats behind the scenes here about what the day includes, some of the activities that are going to be happening, some of the models that we could build during the day to kind of move the quality engineering industry forward. It's going to be very, very cool. And yes, Ben, I like that. BYOB, bring your own boss. and AJ, I'm trying to get my product owners to attend so they appreciate what we do more. Yes, indeed. We need to add product owners to the list of people of who should attend. 100% agree with you, AJ. That'd be very cool indeed. Okay, folks. Well, we should wrap up. Thanks so much for being part of This Week in Testing. Just amplifying what Ben has already shared. And we will see you around the Motiverse. So bye for now.